We're doing some work preparing for November in the Library, a month-long campaign to promote knowledge and evidence sharing within the NHS. Cathy, thank you for taking the time to speak to us today. I'm joined by Cathy Capel, the Deputy Director of Improvement and Innovation at UHBW. Please, could you tell us about your role, Cathy?
Yeah, of course. Lovely to be here, Emily. So I lead the continuous improvement team at the Trust. We're a small group of improvement specialists and we support our staff, all staff across the Trust, to be able to take forward improvements to their services. And then I also work with the executive team and some of our senior leaders in deploying Patient First throughout UHBW. So you may have heard about Patient First. It's our long-term approach to transforming hospital services for the better. And we do that through building improvement and innovation into our everyday work.
Thank you, Cathy. How do you stay up to date?
So, staying up, it's actually really interesting staying up to date with improvement and innovation, because there's a lot being written about it, not only in the NHS in England, but also across the world, both healthcare and non-healthcare. Evidence that comes forward around improvement and innovation. So there are lots of websites, lots of organisations' websites that actually we can access as well. And also a good place to get information is from conferences as well. You get a number of improvement conferences that are held every year in this country where people do go along and share improvements. And that helps you not only sort of understand the evidence base, but where people have made improvements, things have worked, things haven't worked so well as well, and you can learn from them. So what that's also helped me to do is build a network of people that I can connect in with and have conversations with to keep up to date as well, and see how they put, say, improvement tools and methodologies into practice. And there is some academic literature available around improvement and innovation as well. And I do make use of the library, a little plug for you, to say, can you send me this paper? I've heard about this. And the swift response I get you. So it's very, very helpful.
Thank you so much, Cathy. The little plug is appreciated. Yeah. Just slightly off piece, but you did mention there were some organisation websites that you refer to. Do you have any off the top of your head that come to mind?
Yeah, we tend to, at the moment, me and my team are looking into organisations that are using an approach similar to Patient First. So there's a company called Catalysis, who originated the Patient First approach, and they've got lots of great materials. They're an American hospital and company that we can tap into. Virginia Mason Institute, similarly, based in the USA, and we can tap into a lot of their materials. But we've also got NHS England and their website. They have an improvement website which also has some really great tools, and we mustn't forget about those. They've been there quite a long time, but they do provide some great resources. So there's just some examples that I can give you.
Thank you so much, Cathy. Do you find you have to deal with information overload in your day-to-day?
Yeah, people say there's a lot of data in our organisation, and sometimes people do feel quite overwhelmed with data, with information, don't know where to turn. So I think it's the question about whether it's the right data, and in the context of improvement, is it the right data to help you analyse your problem and develop the right solutions? So we have a number of data specialists in our organisation that my team taps into, and we ask our staff to tap into. So our teams, the business intelligence and performance teams, and they can help staff analyse their data. And also my team are trained in particular data analysis tools as well. So what we're trying to do, I guess, is ourselves make sense of information and data And also help our staff to do the same. I think also it's not just about hard information and data. Sometimes it's about the softer information. Of course, our patient experience team and some of the information that they can provide or help gather is, you know, really helpful and give us support in being able to do that as well. And we do tap into them quite a lot.
Thank you, Kathy. Are you part of any professional networks or communities of practice currently, or are there any that have been influential in your career in the past?
Yeah. So people involved in an improvement and innovation really do love to talk about it and share their experiences. So from that point of view, I'm really lucky to be able to tap into networks across England and the UK, actually. So one of the primary ones is the Q community, and they're hosted by the Health Foundation. So that is a community of improvers, of whatever level of experience you have, you know, whether you're starting out in your improvement journey or whether you're really experienced, and it's multi-professional as well. And they provide really useful webinars and resources that I and my team regularly tap into. We're all members of the Q community. There's a short application process to get you there, and then you become a Q member with a badge. And there are also a number of staff across the organisation who are members of the Q community as well, and that gives you access to these resources, which is brilliant. A couple of other networks that we have, so Gloucestershire hospitals have an improvement network that members of my team attend, and that's a sharing forum really, and you know, things that we're all working on and we share and can find out more about afterwards. So it's kind of connecting people together. And then the other one that I use a lot is the Shelford Group. They're a collaboration of the 10 largest teaching and research hospitals in England. And UHBW is an associate member of the Shelford Transformation Network. So I meet monthly with my counterparts where we share and we discuss some of the hot topics around, you know, some of the issues that we're all facing, and also often undertake site visits, going seeing what others are actually doing, putting their improvements into action. So that's so, so helpful. What we do as well is we then share on our own network. So I have connected a lot of people who aren't in the Shelford Group, you know, through that Shelford Group. So it's a great network, I have to say.
And that's the Q community is like the letter Q, right?
It is. Yes. Yes. That quality is what it stands for. So yeah, absolutely.
So leading on from what you've just been discussing, what would you say is the value of nurturing professional relationships and sharing knowledge within a community?
Yeah, so it's just so valuable to build your network, just to be able to pick up the phone to someone or drop them an email to appear when you have a difficult issue or a problem that you're trying to solve, rather than struggle with it in isolation. You know, it's almost certain that someone else will have come across what you're looking at. So why not share, you know, the knowledge and the experience? And I get people phoning me, and similarly, I'll give other people a call. So in my 5 years at the Trust, I've taken time to develop my network that I can tap into, but as I said, also connect others into as well.
Thank you, Kathy. In your opinion, what role do people play in knowledge sharing within organisations? Would you consider people to be key drivers to knowledge mobilisation?
Answer to the second part, yes, people are absolutely key. They're the communicators, aren't they? People who hold knowledge can use it in very different ways. Some of them can hold it quite close to themselves and not share, or not share at the right time. My approach and what I encourage my team to do and others is develop knowledge and experiences and share openly and freely with others, because that ultimately benefits our patients and staff in making their improvements. And the key thing about it is, let's stop reinventing the wheel, that phrase that we use often but don't live a lot of the time. So it's important to share experiences and knowledge about things that work, but also things that don't work so well, so that we can learn together and not repeat mistakes. I think sharing your knowledge with people also really helps you kind of synthesize it in your own brain and reflect on your experiences, kind of put them in a bit of order and sense make, because you're communicating them on to others. So it gives you that your personal benefit of sharing onwards as well. So I hope that answers the question.
Absolutely. That certainly did. Would you say connecting people to the right knowledge and evidence plays a part in improving performance?
Yeah, I guess I touched on that with the previous question. But yeah, I mean, one of the primary roles of an improvement specialist is to connect people. And no one person has all the knowledge about how a service runs, for example, of what the problems are in a service. And so it's essential to bring together different professions of all seniorities to collaborate in understanding why something isn't working well and what can be done to improve it. And within that group, it's really important to include people with specialist knowledge who know how to access evidence or gather evidence and data, so that discussions are based on facts, using high quality data, hopefully, and not basing those discussions on anecdote. And that way we start to understand the root cause of why a problem's occurring and really put the right solutions into place. So, really, really important to ground that in the work that you do.
Thank you, Kathy. The Lord Darzi Government commissioned report highlights several areas where established evidence has not been widely put into practice. What do you think might be some of the barriers to adoption? Would you say raising awareness and improving access to the evidence base is a prerequisite to change for the better?
Yeah, we talk about this often in our team. You know, why do people find it hard to put into place things that are clearly well evidenced? I do think a barrier of adoption can be a lack of curiosity in the first place. Curiosity is a really important trait for people wanting to improve, wanting to know how others do things. Are they doing it better than you, or actually not, and you're doing it really well? It can, you know, you can confirm in that way. Similarly, I have found throughout my long career that some people have, it's called a not invented here mindset. It's a bias against ideas from the outside, and there's quite a lot of evidence around this. To me, it's really important to look beyond your own organisation and see what is working well and not so well. Understand why and determine whether you can bring any learning back to your own service. And I think this fosters a growth mindset and really helps your continuous improvement. And you can do that in various ways. You can, through your networks that you have, you can ask to go and visit other organisations, see what they're doing. And it's also important to review the literature for evidence of improvements, going back to, you know, one of your earlier questions, particularly those that are research-based and have been evaluated. And also just seeing, journal articles that come up as well. So this enables you to look at services and organisations further than your own local area and, you know, build that into what you're doing in it. You know, you might find that someone has the right solution and you can, you know, just adapt it and bring it into your own organisation.
Absolutely. Thank you, Kathy. Where can we find out more about the Patient First framework?
Okay, so we have something called the Patient First Hub on the UHBW Connect page. It's early days with it, but we're starting to populate that with useful information for anybody who wants to do improvement. I'm also really happy to have a chat with anybody who wants to know more about Patient First and how they can take forward their improvement ideas. And similarly, my team can do that as well.
Wonderful. Thank you, Kathy. Do you have one final piece of advice to anyone looking to engage with Patient First?
So I would say, be curious to understand whether your services are as good as they can be in the experience of our patients and our staff. And if you think they're not and you don't know what to do next, have a chat with someone in the continuous improvement team and we can give you loads of guidance about what to do next.
Thank you so much for your time today, Kathy.
Thank you. I told you we like to talk about